I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to, here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In light of what has happened in our congregation this past week, I've chosen to set aside what I had written earlier in the week and just to spend some time thinking about something with you that is on my heart. And here's what I want to say to you. We need each other. We need each other. This week was a reminder for me, and maybe it was a reminder for you too, of how much we need each other and the love and the support of everyone in this congregation. I was talking to the family advocate on Wednesday evening at the house. She's a beautiful Christian woman. Wow. And deeply involved in her church. And what a wonderful spirit she had. And she was telling me that she often gets involved in situations with families where there is no faith and there is no church community to come alongside and provide love and care and support for someone who's reeling by an unexpected loss. And she was telling me how difficult that is. But that is not so in this church. That is not so in this Christian community. And I want to think about that with you for the few moments that we have this morning. And to help us think about that together, I want to begin with these words of the Apostle Paul. Beginning at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with us. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. It's pretty apparent from this passage that God draws us not only into a relationship with Him, but He also draws us into a relationship with each other. You and I are part of the body of Christ, and we're all different, and yet There is one common faith. Paul says we're all baptized by the Spirit. There is one common love for God, and there is a love for each other. And we're all together part of the family of God. See, the church was never meant to be a campus where there was a set of buildings with multiple entrances where people could just come and, you know, on a Sunday morning sit or stand in worship and then study and learn and then get in the cars and leave again. The church is meant to be a community. The church is meant to be a community of people like you and me who share genuine concern for each other, a community of people who share in each other's struggles and support each other, a community of people who encourage each other and build each other up in the faith, because we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. It's like a human body, says Paul. Our bodies are made up of different parts, right? But we're all connected, and each part has a vital role to play. Each part has a particular function. Each part has a particular responsibility, right? And every part of our body is needed. Even and especially the smaller parts of the body. And one of the key principles arriving from this metaphor of Paul here in 1 Corinthians 12 is interdependence. No individual Christian does well in isolation. We were not meant to be alone. We need each other's care. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's prayers, each other's gifts and service to us and us to them. We need other believers in our lives to challenge us and encourage us spiritually. Now, the Bible's full of passages which speak about God's heart on this and His desire that we be brothers and sisters together, the body of Christ. So I've done this before. I just put these verses again or references on the screen. Romans 12, be devoted to one another. John 13, love one another. Galatians 5, serve one another. Galatians 6, carry one another's burdens. Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, build up one another. Hebrews 10, spur one another on to love and good deeds. 1 Thessalonians 4, encourage one another. James 5, pray for one another. Scripture makes it very clear that we need each other. And the church is intended to be a place where people can know others and be known, where people can be cared for and care for others, where we can shoulder each other's burdens. Now, quite honestly, this is something that few people in the world around us that are not a part of faith and not a part of a faith community, not a part of the Christian church, can experience, right? I often wonder, you know, when people who don't attend church regularly and then they move into another community, how do they go about trying to build a meaningful, supportive relationships? Because the relationships out there are pretty superficial. If the church is to be church, and the body of Christ were to encourage each other, it's a major theme in the New Testament. In fact, in the epistles and in the book of Acts alone, there are over 100 references to encouragement. The Greek word that is translated in our English as encourage literally means called alongside of or called to the side of. So, for example, in the Old Testament, Jonathan comes rushing to the side of David when David is filled with despair and he's running for his life because King Saul, who happened to be Jonathan's father, was harassing him. In the New Testament, a guy by the name of Barnabas. You know what Barnabas means? Barnabas means the encourager. He comes alongside the Christians in Antioch who had just come to faith. And they're just discovering what it means to be a Christ follower. And he hears about this, and his heart is so filled with joy. And he knows that he's got to be with them. He's got to somehow encourage them and support them and pray for them. Encouragement is something that we all need, even in the best of times, and especially and certainly in the times when life gets pretty raw and pretty difficult. When we're struggling with our health, or when we've experienced a significant loss in our life and we're feeling alone, or a relationship isn't going well, and or some other point that is causing in our lives such stress, and we're feeling overwhelmed. Any of you never experienced difficulty in your life? Or hardship, or pain, or heartache. Now, some of you have experienced much more of that than the rest of us. And I acknowledge that. But if you've ever been the recipient of someone's encouragement, someone who just took the time to be there for you, someone who took the time to listen to you, someone who offered you perspective and support, someone who took care of some need for you, or in some way let you know that they loved you, cared for you, valued you by what they said or by what they did, then you know the power of encouragement, and you know what it means to have somebody in your life who genuinely cares. And you know how important it is to be part of a church community where people all around you show love and support. And certainly we need the encouragement of others in our walk with God, because it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to do this on our own, right? It's pretty difficult to be a Christ follower without the support of other Christians who share our values, who share our desire to love and serve God. We need the involvement of other growing Christians who can share their life's experience, their life's struggles, their knowledge of Scripture, and to help us figure out how Scripture applies to my real life dilemma, situation, experience, hardship, decision that I've got to make. We need other people in our life who can call forth the best from us, right? We need other people who can cheer us on. The author of Hebrews, and some believe that it is Barnabas who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we don't know for sure. But the author of Hebrews says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another to love and good deeds." In other words, let us consider how we can help each other live out our faith. not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. The plain, inescapable fact is that Christians, you and I, need each other in our journey through life. And not only do we need the encouragement of each other, but we need the prayers of each other. We need your prayers. We need you to pray for us, and we to pray for you. There are situations in life that no one should have to go through alone. Right? When you await serious surgery, when your spouse walks out on you, when you've been released from a position at work after years of faithful service, when you lose a spouse, and maybe worse yet, when you lose a child, or when you lose a spouse and a child in short order. I mean, you can add to the list. But we were never meant to face these difficulties alone. In verse 26, Paul says, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. Why? Because every member of the body of Christ is highly valued, because we belong to each other, because we care deeply for each other, and so we pray for each other. If you read Paul's letters in the New Testament, of course, I guess I didn't need to say that. It's obvious and redundant. If you read Paul's letters, so often you come across phrases like, I have not stopped praying for you, or pray for me. Or here in Romans chapter 15, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Because we love, because we care, we pray for each other, and we lift up the hurts and the burdens and the concerns of others to God, and they do that in turn for us in our times of need. And our prayers are a source of encouragement for those who are going through difficult times. It lets them know that they're thought about. It lets them know that they're cared for and loved, and that they are not alone, and that others care enough to pray earnestly for them. You know what sometimes happens? When people go through a crisis or experience a significant loss, they sometimes find their faith put to the test. Right? All kinds of questions are asked. And it can be very difficult for them to pray. I don't know how many times I've had conversations with a godly man or a godly woman and hear them say to me, Jack, I just can't pray right now. And I haven't been able to pray for some time after this experience, this loss, right? Because God seems so far away. And these are people also of great faith who are saying this. And what I want to suggest this morning is that it is in times like this that the love and the prayers of their brothers and sisters in Christ can help them hang on to their faith. Because you see, if others are with us, willing to bear our pain and our perplexity, and to sit with us with all of our unanswerable questions, and just let us doubt, and wonder. And people who are willing just to plead with God for our well-being. Then perhaps there is a God who loves us and cares for us, who endures our pain and stands with us to the end. Because people who do that, people who pray for us, are a living reminder of God's love. When we need it the most. To use a biblical metaphor, one from the Gospels here, when Jesus seems beyond reach because the house is impossibly crowded, our friends carry us and lower our bed at the feet of Jesus through their prayers. And I want to encourage you, friends, if this is not already your practice, and I know for many of you, you are so very faithful in prayer, but I want to encourage you to make a commitment to pray for the needs of each other in our church. And you can start by praying for the one who most needs our prayer right now and for her family. But, you know, there are other concerns that we have in our congregation. Other concerns that people have, people that we care about. And, you know, if you pray for them, of course, you've got to take the next step. You've got to let them know. Right? And so you place a note in their mailbox at church, or you send them an email or a text, or you call them on the phone, or better yet, you knock on the door. And you spend some time with them. You know, as a church, we're trying to learn what it means to be supportive of one another. And some of you have been very honest with us, and you've reminded us that your deep sense of loss doesn't go away after a few weeks or even a few months, reminding us that life continues to be very different for you and at times very difficult for you. And we're trying to become much more aware of that and sensitive to that. And we're trying to figure out together how we can be more supportive of each other. But you and I need each other. And my prayer is that God will be gracious to us all in and through the love and the care that is experienced in this church. We talk a lot about being church for our community. But first, we need to be church in the church. And you know what? When people in our community see the body of Christ being the body of Christ in the church, they'll sit up and take notice and be drawn to Christ in this place. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word for us this morning, and I pray that you will help us to ponder its deeper meaning. And to consider this not to be just a word for our church, but a word for each one of us. So, Lord, may we be the hands and feet of Jesus, not only to those in our community, but also to each other. In His name we pray. Amen. Will you stand for the blessing? Now, friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you and look upon you with His favor and grant us all His peace. Amen.